WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everyone celebrating. I am not going to Cincinnati this week, but Luke will be out in Owings Mills all week getting you ready for what Earl Weaver once called Cincinnati. It's all brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, and the tasty chicken. Don't forget free coffee on Christmas Day. I'm letting everybody know if you got the Royal Farms, get the app. Got the app, you get free coffee on Christmas, any size. So check it out. Dennis was away last week. He's back now. He's over at Coons Ford for the beginning of the year, the end of the year, the close of the month. But certainly three losses in a row. I don't know, Dan, the nasty Nestor in me should be all mad and throwing chairs like a WWE match and, you know, how dare they go for two and how dare they throw the ball and crunch the field and all that. I still think, like, when I left to go to the stadium on Sunday, I didn't think they had a great chance of winning the game. And for all of the hubbub about leadership and Harbaugh and the players and the decision to go to for two and all of that, and I'm not always in Harbaugh's corner, and he and I have our disagreements about things, but to beat the coach up at this point when they've lost half the team for anything, you know, even the play call or going for it, the fact that they were in a position to win the football game when their odds of winning when they were going for it on fourth down from their own 35-yard line, and Luke said, their odds of winning right now, down 11 points with 7 minutes, you know, it's probably 4% or whatever. And then they had a chance to win the game. I don't know. I can't complain about it. It sucks. I'd rather win than lose. They won some games the first 8 weeks they shouldn't have won, maybe shouldn't have won at all, a Colts game, some other games. It all evens out. They are what they are.
It's funny you mentioned WWE because it was going to be also in my opening sentence, because when you look at calls – like the roughing the passer, ticky-tacky call on Adafi Owe, on Aaron Rodgers. It was a dumb play on his call, but the rule is even dumber. He barely touched the guy. And then Kevon Seymour on that hold call they called that gave the Packers a first and goal at the 9-yard line. To me, watching the NFL these days, Nestor, with all the rules and everything and the officials having so much power over the game, it does remind me of not even WWE. I've got to go back to WWF. I mean, they have more to do with the outcome than the players do in many cases. So to me, like you, I don't take it as seriously as I used to, not nearly. I don't get very upset after losses. I was at the stadium, had a great time, saw 61 points in a game that no one expected the Ravens to win. So overall, look, I was entertained for 3.5 hours.
They have been wildly entertaining. The league has been wildly entertaining this year, right? And now that they want everybody to gamble on it, and they got Boomer and Phil Sims giving you gambling advice, and they're hiring. Everybody's gambling now, right? And Steve Mariucci, don't gamble. Well, gamble right, a little bit.
Responsibly. Be responsible.
And for me, look, I mean, I'm doing work with the Maryland Lottery. They're all in on it. The state's in on it. It allegedly is going to make our schools better once we gamble on it now, instead of taking the money to Vegas or giving it to Louis the bookmaker or whatever. But I do find it fascinating that the league's in on all of this on the officiating side. Now, on the up and up, no longer Brent Musburger and Jimmy the Greek 1978, that they're making these decisions that have money involved. I don't know. It makes me a little itchy, to be really honest, on their behalf.
To me, they should just label it just like the WWE, Nestor. Sports entertainment, right? It's entertainment. The outcomes may be influenced by some decisions that make you go, the nice thing is we saw Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, you know, be super accurate for the majority of the game. We saw a great story with Tyler Huntley. And again, now for 3 weeks in a row, we're going to talk about a 2-point conversion that has the fan base split. Half are saying, hey, John Harbaugh was correct. And the other half, they're calling for his head if they're not picking on Greg Roman, right? So it's a very polarizing fan base. But I guess that's no different than any other city in the NFL.
Well, it's situational. And it's situational to the weather, your bench, the trends of the game, or what John Harbaugh, it finally came down to gut. That's why he makes $10 million a year, to make that call, make that play call, execute that, and have it all, much like you running Coons Ford or much like me running WNSD and Baltimore Positive, there is his name's at the top of the flow chart for that decision. And I can't fault the decision-making given – putting five cornerbacks out there to chase Aaron Rodgers around in overtime and thinking that that's going to have a good outcome. So I don't mind going for two. I don't mind trying to win a game. You probably had no business winning 10 minutes earlier, that it's offered there and it's 2 feet away or 6 feet away. You want to go get it. But I don't know why they throw the ball there. Like, and again, that goes to the ball going off the fingertips 2 weeks ago with Mark Andrews. And I know he's your best player, and everybody on the defense knows that too, right? And Hollywood was open in the back and wasn't seen by a backup quarterback who's under duress at the end of the game. I wouldn't have given the quarterback that. I would have said, let's go with the best running play we have and spread it out and try to do it that way. I wouldn't have died with the ball hitting the ground.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. And I think that's what most fans, that's their mindset, that they like going for it. They didn't like the call. And the fact that Hollywood Brown was open on that play, I would venture to say that there's a receiver open on every play. And we've seen the best of the best quarterbacks miss guys that were wide open. They're under duress. They're under the gun. The clock's running out. They have guys in their face that are running 4.3 40. So to me, the fact he missed Hollywood Brown, it's irrelevant. Like you, though, I do question the play call. I think they had superior calls at their fingertips. I would have used Mark Andrews as a decoy. He was double, maybe triple covered on that play, which meant that there was somebody else open. Maybe somebody else was open besides Hollywood Brown, too. I haven't looked at the film.
Well, you got to run it. You got a quarterback who's a running back who runs the fastest guy on the field.
Yeah.
You know, like,
spread him out. Look, I do
and
like
he proved it over and over again. I mean, he has some, he does a very, very good Lamar impersonation. He really does.
He really does. And, you know, I read an article over the weekend, and I forget the writer, I like to give him credit for it, but he said, you know, that Greg Roman, one of the knocks against him, in his opinion, was that he puts the best player in space into a box, right, by having extra running backs and extra tight ends. And I think the same thing with Tyler Huntley. I would have liked to see them spread out the field and give him a run pass option on either side, not just roll him to one side, condense the field, and make him and Mark Andrews easier to defend.
Well, I think when you make the field smaller and there's only 2 yards of field, yeah. As I said to Luke, I don't know much about geometry. I didn't get there in the 11th grade with Mr. Barkas. but I do know, you know, space. And there was less of it and too many bodies. Dennis Colazzo is here. He'll be here on Thursday driving you home with the Dennis Colazzo show. I'll be joining him. Luke will be joining him. I plan on singing some Christmas carols with Dennis on Thursday as we get into the weekend here before we go to Cincinnati. The bigger picture of all of this is watching the Steelers win, unlikely, watching the Bengals win, knowing what the scheduling looks like for all the teams in the division. This is really a little bit of a free-for-all the next 3 weeks, and a lot of this is going to really be about how Lamar's ankle moves along, because I still think he gives them a far better chance to win, although we're all sour on him lately, and Huntley's played well when given the opportunity the last 2 weeks. I still think you need number 8 back. You need him back as soon as possible, and you need to get some level of continuity here over the next 3 weeks so that there is a fourth week.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to fall in love with a backup quarterback. There's not a lot of game tape on him for defensive coordinators around the league to defend, so I think in Lamar's defense, now, you know, teams have 4 years of film on him. They figure out how to slow him down. Lamar hadn't had the last 2 or 3 games haven't been very good for him. But like you, I do believe that a healthy Lamar Jackson is by far and away the Ravens' best chance of upsetting the Bengals, as they will be road underdogs, right? So I'm not down on Lamar. I do think that the team, though, particularly Greg Roman, could do some things to help free him up and get that, open up that offense a bit, and use him in space better than he has the last several games. Lamar looked phenomenal at the beginning of the year, not so much lately, but I do think he's a fantastic ball player that the offensive coordinator owes it to him and to the team and to the fan base to open things up a bit.
I have no idea who's going to play on the back end again this week.
Right? Oh, my.
And then you put COVID into this, and I mean, you run a business right now. I know you're, you know, highly concerned because you're in a people business, unlike me sitting here on Zoom when I'm not having a crab cake at Costas or Fadley's doing a crab cake tour. I have been home a lot and alone a lot because the Omicron thing is here. But seeing these football players, seeing humans, seeing people I know all up and down my timeline have this happen, I promise you the Ravens will have COVID issues this week going to and I don't know who it is, and I don't know where it's going, and I don't know if it'll be the offensive line this week, and the Bengals might have, you know, COVID issues this week as well. We've seen the games get moved. We're in a very strange time again in regard to the virus and what it's going to mean to the football season. Not that it's the most important thing, but for our purposes.
Yeah, I was glad to see the NFL move the Browns and Raiders game because I believe the Browns had over 20 players test positive for COVID. And you're right, it's a concern. We wake up Sunday morning and Jimmy Smith is listed as a scratch because he tested positive for COVID. So it does have an impact on the game. It does have an impact on the season. And all you can hope is for the best and do the best that you can in any organization to protect yourself and your team members from getting this virus. This is terrible.
Dennis is here. He will. He'll be around on Thursday. Tell me, end of the year, is this like, if I Google this, are they going to say great time to buy a car by next week? Yeah. Because like Dennis has got cars, he's got to get rid of them. And then in the industry now, you don't have a lot of cars. So I don't give me the lowdown on buying a vehicle in 21 versus in 22.
So you will never hear a dealer say this is don't buy a car. This is a terrible time. It's always a great time to come out and buy a car for a number of reasons. You have a lot of businesses and that can save money by writing off vehicles before the end of the year. The other part of it is selection, right? You don't want to – right now inventories are pretty good, and they're going to sell out the next 9 days of the month. So it's a fantastic time to come out. The deals are still there, still giving top dollar for trade-ins, right? Let's not forget about that. We don't know about the time value of money. We don't know what the dollar is going to be worth a year from now either, with inflation looming large. So to me, it's always a fantastic time to treat yourself to a brand new vehicle.
For you with cars at this point, and mm-hmm. Speak to the industry because I just sold my condo or I'm in the process, and how long it sits out. And when a car comes in, how long will a car be on your lot now versus when you had 500-600 cars on your lot, that a car could come in, maybe sit there 60-90 days because it's green or somebody doesn't fall in love with the hatchback or whatever. You'd like to say they're all there a day and they move on, but that's not the reality. But my vibe is cars aren't sitting on your lot long, that you're not getting as many, but they're moving out quickly too. You see a car today, 10 days from now, it might be gone, where in the old days, maybe it'd sit over in the corner of the lot a little longer.
Yeah, cars are like melting ice in regards to depreciation and what you have to pay in terms of floor plan interest on them as you stock them. Not so much anymore, Ness, because of the scarcity index. Now, I want to guess that the industry average of a new vehicle being in stock is about 25 days, and a used car maybe about 30 days. Those are very historically low numbers. So you just don't have the selection anymore that you used to have. So many inventories are picked over. A lot of vehicles coming in are pre-sold. So it is a very, very different market. So that scarcity index is still there. The chip shortage is still there. And we don't see any relief anytime soon, to be frank with you. Fortunately, we have more than most. We have about 150 new vehicles in stock, over 200 pre-loved vehicles in stock. So we're in very, very good shape to be of service to our customer base.
Well, but if I come in and I say I want a blank, and I want it in blue, and I want it in gray leather, and I want to order it, like, old school. Yeah. I mean, I've done that before. And
you can order now.
I'm going to wait for my car. And it used to be, it'll be in 3 weeks, like kind of sort of like that, right? 20 years ago. What does that timeline look like in the
industry? Well, for Ford specifically, it's 6 to 8 weeks still. So we're ahead of the industry. Ford is also building their own chips. So they're ahead of the curb more so than other manufacturers. If you were to order a brand new F-150 or a Bronco Sport, for instance, it would take the vehicle about 6 to 8 weeks to come in.
And you can get exactly what you want. So you can do that, no doubt about it.
If you have the patience to wait a few weeks, you can get exactly what you want.
See, my wife's going through that right now with inventory selection, where we are, how the pricing would go. But that is fascinating for her because she's never really done that, you know, gone in and said, I want gray, I want blue, I want this, I want heated this, that, whatever, and ordered it. We're much more,
Yep.
It's good enough. We'll take the white one. We'll take the, you know, the one that has this package on it already, that it's easier to do that. And obviously for you to sell it as well. But I didn't realize you could still order a car.
Become the new norm, Nestor, because I know Ford is encouraging dealers and customers to go that route because it's more efficient. In Europe, for instance, the car lots may have one or two or three new vehicles in stock for you to look at. Everything in Europe gets ordered. There's no such thing as a huge inventory like
we have here lots in
America.
Europe.
They don't either.
It's like San Francisco. It's a storefront. It's like a corner
storefront. They're restricted. But that may be the new norm in the sense that you come in and you order exactly what you want and everything's built to order. That's the way that Ford is heading. And I don't know if the rest of the industry is going to follow suit, but it's very efficient for the manufacturer. You don't have excess inventory. You don't have excess inventory sitting on the ground. They don't have to incentivize the vehicles as much to move. So I think it's a very efficient process. And under the direction of Jim Farley, the new CEO of Ford, that's the direction that we're heading. And it's actually been very, very good for us and our customers too.
Does it cost less for you to make it the way I want to make it, even though it takes 8 weeks? Even though I have to wait for it, is it a cheaper pizza to make when I pick it?
It's cheaper. It's more efficient for everyone because you get a fresh vehicle. It doesn't sit on my lot for months at a time. It's better for the manufacturer. There really is no downside to it. The only downside is you can't get what you want today. But if you're willing to wait 6 to 8 weeks, there's nothing but benefits for everybody all the way around.
Even on pricing?
Even on pricing. That's correct.
Didn't realize that. Well, good. This is why you got to have a friend in the car business. That's why you need Dennis. You can give him
That's
a call.
Exactly
His
right.
Number rings on the hip. You can find him Thursday and Sunday morning. All right, back to football and back to Joe Burrow and back to the Steelers and back to the Browns. As we tape this, we don't know what the Browns are going to do, and I don't think it even matters at this point because they're still dangerous all the way around. This division and this catfight the next 3 weeks really sets up to be great theater, great drama, exactly what the league wanted. You want the day after Christmas in Cincinnati to have deep meaning for both franchises. You want the Pittsburgh game the last weekend to be flexed out and they all have to play at the same time because we're heading in that direction with all this 8-7, 8-6, like all of that, right?
I think it's very fascinating that just looking at our division specifically, Nestor, that with 3 weeks to go, to your point, no team has been eliminated, right? So everybody's still in a fight. The Steelers still have some breath, some life left in them. Browns are right there. Bengals right now are leading the division based on the tiebreakers and whatnot. So, and the Ravens, look, if they win three straight, guess what? They're going to be in the dance. That's for sure. We hope. But this is what the NFL wants. They want parity. They want us tuning in all 17 games, right? They all matter. And this is fantastic. But to me, as we started off the show, we'll finish it the same way. It does have a little bit of a WWE feel right now.
Well, and I would even say this for anybody burying the Steelers a couple of weeks ago or burying the Ravens right now because they've lost three in a row.
Yeah.
Luke and I have talked about Flacco planking and then winning the Super Bowl 7 weeks later. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl as they're constructed. I just don't. I think Mahomes would have to get COVID the weekend they're playing. I don't think this team can go on the road and win. But that being said, I watched the Titans lose. I watched the Patriots. We thought they were good until last week. And here come the Colts. And then we thought the Cardinals were okay. And then they lose to the Lions, right? So, you know, on a week-by-week basis, yep, None of these teams are so good that they can't be beaten. And none of these teams are so bad that they can't get up off the carpet with a special player like Lamar or a special player like the running back in Tennessee. If they go in as the last seed and he's healthy, he'll come in and run you over in the middle of January, and like he did to us, right? So all of these teams have a little bit of a wild card in this fight, and they all have excellent football players, whether it's Joe Burrow, who could get hot in January, or whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, and they start to play a little bit. I think all of these teams, there's some danger in the Buffalo Bills. There's some danger in the Los Angeles Chargers that the tournament itself is going to be more like March Madness, where – I wouldn't want to bet on it.
Well, look at Tom Brady and the Bucs, right? The first time a Tom Brady team has been shut out over 15 years. They lose 9-0 to the Saints, right? So imagine being a Bucs fan.
And they can win the Super Bowl 6 weeks from now.
They certainly can, right? So anything can happen on any given Sunday. So for me, do I want to watch a 9-0 game or a 31-30 game that comes down to the last play? Give me 31-30 any day of the week. I was very highly entertained, and that's what we expect when we pay our money, our hard-earned money, is to be entertained at any venue. Again, I just wish they had a more consistent outcome. And I also think, Nest, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, that the college football playoff formula is superior to the NFL overtime formula. That's what I meant to say, overtime formula. When you got to rely on the coin flip, and Andy Reid spoke about this, he was glad that the Chiefs won the overtime coin toss against the Chargers, because he said if it had gone the opposite way, he didn't think they could stop the Chargers' offense. So to me, it's very unfair how these overtime rules are applied in the professional football.
Start to sound like penalty kicks in the World Cup. We'll
get I don't like that. Yeah, you play your heart out and you come down to penalty kicks. With college football, everybody gets the same chance to score. And in the NFL, it comes down to the coin flip and a team. If you have an Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, those cats are going down for seven. You know that.
Dennis Colatzos, he will sell you a car. He'll do some sports radio on Thursday, back on the beat, getting ready for the big Christmas weekend and New Year's, as well as some football here. You can find him from 3 until 5 here on Thursday at WNSD, and, of course, on Sunday morning, which will be the morning after Christmas and the morning we get ready for indigestion from those Cincinnati chili dogs. Dennis Colatzos, he is a Deep Colatzos Show. You can find him out on the Twitter thing and find him here on Thursday. You can find me anywhere. Don't forget to ship crab cakes this week. If you love them, if you love relish, they're a click away from our friends at Fabley's, from our friends at Costas. Make sure you're supporting local and giving local and buying local. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive happy.